JC Corcoran Podcast.
On the other hand, the woman never tells you on the first date that she happens to drink some red wine and has some PMS, that she's capable of crimes against humanity. Yeah. So, you know, you can't blame the woman for being in a bad mood. You know, sometimes she's having a period, the chemicals are moving through her there. Sometimes those chemicals mix with the chemicals in the wine, and it's like a witch's brew. A little menstruation, a bottle of Cabernet. Now you'll be wrong no matter what you say. We went out to a restaurant on her birthday, and we were having a really good time, but she was drinking red wine and having PMS, so I'm on full security alert. I know a fight's coming. I don't know where, I don't know how. I just know it'll be long, it'll be bad, and I won't know how it started. Sure enough, this waitress comes walking toward our table with the biggest bouncy waitress knockers, proving once again that tits are like the police. They're always walking in when you don't want them to. If you're looking for them, no chance. When you don't want them, boom, 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 boom. This is when your brain sends an emergency message down to your eyeballs, like, attention eyeballs, this is the brain. Mayday, mayday, mayday. We have two giant presumes closing from the south. Do not engage. Repeat, do not engage. She's drinking red wine and there's PMS. We are at DEFCON 3. I say again, two bouncing honkers are closing. Chest size, 3, niner. Cup size, David, David, David. Do not engage those tits. But it's too late because your eyeballs are calling back like this. Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit there, brain. Looks like we've got a couple of bazooms closing in from the south here. We're going to bank left and swoop in and get a closer look at this situation. So I guess I glanced at him. Across the table, here's the view.
Do you like the waitress's body? Do you think she's attractive? Because if you do, maybe you should be with her instead of me.
Go home then. This is when you hear the alarm from the end of every science fiction movie you've ever seen, when a planet's blowing up and you're, and 3 minutes to total destruction. There are 28 million possible answers to do you like the waitress's tits. All of them are incorrect. So you're sitting there going, to her boobs, did I like? No?
Why do you have to lie every second of your life? I'd have more respect for you if you acted like a man once in a while.
Attention all units, this is the brain. Do not act like a man. Repeat, do not act like a man. I've seen this before. You're being lured into an ambush.
Jesus Christ, get everybody the f*** out of there, and I mean now.
Yeah. Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, January 18th, 2022. 294 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How you doing, kids? It's JC. If I sound a little nasally today, you know, you have to remind everybody that you can still get sick and have it not be COVID. You know, all the stuff that's out there is still out there, you know, colds and flu and viruses and the things that we normally get in any other year, but you sneeze or you cough around somebody these days and they just look at you like you're a leper or something. And, you know, I've got a lot of congestion here today. My 12-year-old has the same thing, but I'm going to play this for you because it really is funny when you stop to think about it. Here is the late news on Tampa, Florida television last night.
It sure sounds like jacket weather for the morning. It's cold out there tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Already chilly with many spots inland in the 40s. So mom and dad, kids at the bus stop for most of the winter season, they've only needed shorts and t-shirts, Florida stuff. enough, but now we have to go back to using that jacket once or twice a year, and tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, definitely going to be one of those mornings. 45 here in the city.
Do you know that they have warming centers that have opened up in downtown Tampa for homeless people who they don't want to get cold because the temperature is going to get into the 40s? How will they ever survive? I just think this is one of those weeks where it's cold everywhere. St. Louis area tomorrow morning across the Midwest will start the day in the single digits. That's that wind chill. That is actual temperatures. I think it's supposed to be 8 tomorrow morning when you all get up. All right. Some good news. The Soulard Mardi Gras is a go. Didn't have that sort of fun stuff the last couple of years. Anyhow, February 26th is the day for that. And by the way, we haven't spoken since last Friday because we had the weekend and I took yesterday off for the holiday. And so I didn't get a chance to know about the, or I didn't get a chance to talk about this. And that was the snowstorm, quote unquote, that came in. Now, there was a lot of chirping on social media all weekend long because people were ridiculing the weather forecasters, TV and otherwise, saying that they blew the whole thing, which, of course, is not correct. Everybody, universally, across the board, said, the 2 to 4 range sounds right, and there's going to be a couple of places they're going to get socked with maybe 5 inches. And they told you the timeline of when the whole thing was supposed to start, which was late Friday night and into Saturday morning. It is precisely what took place. To the letter. Officially, Lambert International Airport, which is where they register these things, the snowfall total was 2.4 inches. Seems pretty accurate to me, and a couple of other places outstate. Really, you don't have to go too far, but there were a couple of other places that got more. And again, that's exactly what they said was going to happen. Yeah, so officially 2.4 in St. Louis, Mexico, Missouri, 4 inches, Warrenton, 4 inches, Quincy, 4.5, Hannibal, 5.5, Ewing, Missouri, never heard of that, 7.5. So it is exactly to the letter, to the timing, to everything, exactly what they said was going to happen. And yet, people got on the internet on Saturday and Sunday and were complaining about the weather forecast, one where everything about it was absolutely on the mark. You know, and people are so mean, they're just so cruel. I'm not saying everybody, but enough people for it to be one of those cases where you look at it and you're like, what is wrong with people? You know, if you're a bricklayer, how would you like somebody coming over to watch your work? And when you're all done building the wall, somebody stands there and says, I don't really like the way you did that. Do you know anything about bricklaying? No, but I'm just looking at it. And I don't think this looks even over here. And it looks like some of the mortar is shooting out here. It's just sort of sloppy. I really like the job you did. Even though there's nothing wrong with the wall, and even though the person doing the criticism knows nothing about building or laying bricks, and they stand there and they just chirp at you. This is what this whole thing has turned into. All you have to do is be in a position of prominence. Maybe not even all the time, just in a certain situation. I could tell you a story right now that I'm sworn to secrecy on, and for reasons that would you'd see that they are obvious, but I can't even really go into any of it. But there's been something going on in St. Louis for the last 6 months or so involving somebody who, not because the person asked for it, it was just sort of thrust upon them, became a celebrity for a while and was also very young. And that person had to overcome tremendous adversity and is doing great now, but is being made fun of by other kids. It would just turn your stomach. And I think that's when I realized, you know what? All you have to just be is prominent. We already know that, people in politics or sports, if you're on television, you're a movie star, comedian, it doesn't matter. You know, it's like my dad used to say, the higher up you are on the ladder, the more of your butt is exposed. And that's really what it's all about. And people always say, well, if you don't have a thick skin, you're in the wrong business. Well, it doesn't really have anything to do with a thick skin. It has to do with the ability to deal with people who don't know what the fuck they're talking about and yet will stand there and criticize you right to your face almost. Bob Costas said something years ago that I never forgot. You know, he said that there's three kinds of criticism. The first kind is when somebody criticizes something that you do and you say to yourself, you know what? He's probably right. He's got something here. Maybe I shouldn't do that thing that way. So that's criticism number one. Criticism number two is where somebody doesn't like something you did or the way you did it, and you say, I understand what you're getting at, but you're wrong, and I don't agree with it, because if you knew this and this and this, you wouldn't say that, but you don't have enough information to do a criticism of me, and or your criticism is just, I just don't agree with it. And then the third kind is what I think has overtaken the entire human race right now, and that is, no matter what happens, if people see it, their first inclination is to criticize it. Stuff that just comes out of left field. And that's what everything is now. People are mean. Also on social media, I got a screenshot of this. This is that Joe Rogan podcast. Joe Rogan has a guest on. Here's what Joe Rogan says. Hamburgers are good, but I'm trying to eat less pork. The guest says hamburgers are made with beef. Joe Rogan responds, ham is from pork. And it says ham and hamburger. The guest says, Joe, it's beef. Joe Rogan says, that's not what I heard. Jamie, look that up. Jamie says, it's beef. The guest says, yeah, Joe, it's beef. Joe Rogan says, okay, but can we really trust hamburger makers and butchers and grocery stores when the word ham is in hamburger and ham means pork? That's kind of insightful stuff that you get from Joe Rogan. I want to say farewell to PJ Randhawa. It's a lovely woman who spent the last, I don't know, 5 years or so doing investigative reporting on KSDK Channel 5. You know, the problem with PJ is that she's so beautiful. You sit there and you watch the 3-minute report and the story's over and they cut to sports or something and you're like, I don't remember a thing she said. You know, they talk about that Alexandra Daddario, and for good reason too, because she has these eyes that are absolutely piercing, but you see PJ and it's like, holy crap, you talk about a beautiful woman. She's very nice, by the way. I've spoken to her many times. I had a chance to meet her. We just ran into each other in the Central West End about 3 years ago, and we talked a little bit. She's from Canada, and like I said, has been in St. Louis for the last couple of years doing that, and she left for Seattle, which is closer to where she grew up, and apparently it's a really, really good gig. So we want to say congratulations to her. Interestingly, the more I think about this, I probably should have just kept my mouth shut. You know, it's one of those things where you see something and you just immediately react, and then later on you're like, you know what? I probably just shouldn't have said anything. Late last week, just as she's packing up her stuff and getting ready to go, there was a mayoral proclamation making it PJ Randhawa Day in the city of St. Louis. And she posted a picture of the thing. You know, they give you a giant declaration that's on like a piece of parchment. And there's all these little stickers and I don't know what they call these things, those little circle patches with the ribbons coming down, like when you win first place for something, you know. And it says, you know, congratulations. And very well deserved, by the way. She's a fantastic reporter, in addition to being a nice person and a beautiful human being. And when they give it to her, they tell her, you know, PJ, there's only been one other time when this award has been presented to a member of the media. And so she posted that along with the picture, and I sent her a note that said, you know, back in 2009, I got one of those, and I'm pretty sure Guy Phillips got one. And if I sit here and think a little bit longer, I can probably think of a couple of other people from the media who were given this proclamation, and they may have been fibbing a little bit. And she's like, are you kidding me? You got one? I'm like, yeah, believe it or not. Through some sort of clerical error, apparently, I also received one. And I sent her a picture of the thing, and I said, I don't know, maybe that's what they tell everybody when they give it to you. You know, it's only, you're the only other person. We have only done this twice before. You know, you're the only other one other than the other person. There's only been two in history. Congratulations. And then you find out, but then, like I said, I thought I should have just let her enjoy the goddamn thing. What's wrong with me? Don't answer that. All right, the matchups are set for more football next weekend. This time at least is 4 games and not 5, because we had 2 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, and then 1 on Monday. That's six games spread across 3 days. This time it's Saturday and it's Sunday, and that's pretty much it. And the other nice thing about this coming weekend is that you have almost the whole day ahead of you before the football starts. So if you have non-football fans in your family, or you know, you got stuff to do, and your wife is like, "Well, you're going to be watching football all weekend, and I can't get the doorknob fixed." It's like, no, fix it. The first game doesn't start till 3:30, and then on Sunday the first game starts at 2. So here we go. We got Cincinnati at Tennessee. Tennessee 2.5-point favorites in that game. That game is at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon. Then at 7:15, the Packers are 4.5-point favorites over San Francisco. That's at 7:15. Then on Sunday, first game is at 2 o'clock, and here we go. The Rams, who just wiped Arizona off the damn field last night, are still 2.5-point underdogs against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucs, and I don't know about that. From the way they looked last night, I'm talking about the Rams. I hate to say it, but jeez. Yeah, but the Bucs are 2.5-point favorites in that game. 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And then at 5:30, oh boy, Buffalo at Kansas City. How much fun is that going to be? The Chiefs are 2.5-point favorites. And I think really the world is pulling for Buffalo. This reminds me of the World Series in 2016 when the Cubs won it. And everybody was like, you know, the Cubs just became America's team at that point. That's how I sort of feel Buffalo is being received this year. Although Cincinnati, I think, is going to pick up a lot of steam too, because they haven't won anything. They haven't even been in the playoffs in 31 years, and so there's a lot of people pulling for them too. So, you know, those are all good, you know, sort of good sports stories. Laura Ingraham, conservative commentator, says she may not vote for Donald Trump in 2024. There goes the psycho vote. Remember where you were and what you were thinking in 1990 on this date, 32 years ago today, Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry arrested in a drug enforcement sting operation after he was videotaped smoking crack. Enter Chris Rock.
That's right, the Million Man March. Said had all the positive black leaders there. Farrakhan, Jesse, Marion Barry. A ticket. It was a damn positivity. How he get it, man? Marion Barry at the Million Man March. You know what that means? That means that even in our finest hour, we had a crackhead on stage. Hey, fool if you want. You know I'm right. How the hell Marion Barry get his job back? Job back. How the hell that happened? I mean, if you get caught smoking crack at McDonald's, you can't get your job back. That's right. They're not gonna trust you around the Happy Meals. They'll send your ass to Hardee's. Smoke crack got his job. All I wanna know, who was so bad? Who ran against him that they lost? Who was so bad they lost to a crackhead?
Tapping on his arm.
A crack, both a smack.
It's our pal, traffic reporter Lance Hildebrand, our then producer and co-host John Canavera, and also Steve Schlanger, who just fell off the face of the earth after he left the show. But that's pretty funny stuff right there. All of that happening 32 years ago today. 26 years ago today, 1996, Lisa Marie Presley filed for divorce from Michael Jackson after 20 very, very weird months together in holy matrimony.
Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson's always making lots of noise. Michael Jackson's got a thing for little boys. Bring your boy to Neverland and say goodbye. The swiping adolescents, young male prepubescents, that we know is Michael Jackson's modus operandi.
Curley from the Three Stooges died of a stroke on this date in 1952, 70 years ago. That's a guy I would have loved to have interviewed because there's very little really written about him. Not a lot of interviews and stuff like that. And yet he was a comedic genius. And at the same time, I don't think we were talking about a real, real bright bulb in the box there. Would have been fascinating to find out where he picked up all this stuff and what made him tick. God, I would have loved to interview that guy. Titanic won 4 Golden Globes 24 years ago today. That movie was so big that I still remember when Blockbuster Video was around. I was working at Channel 4 at the time, and they sent me out to do a live shot for the 10 o'clock news from the Blockbuster down, I think it was Hampton Village down there, when the DVD was released. It wasn't even the real movie. The movie in a theater. It was just when the DVD came out, and there were like a couple of hundred people out in front of the place at 10 o'clock at night, which made for a great live shot, but also made for some real head-scratching. This one I'm not sure I get. Joe Walsh is going to star on The Conners tomorrow night, but he will not be playing himself. I want to find out what the story is behind this. And Jim Carrey would like you to know that he turned 60 years old. Late Night Tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Ricky Gervais, Rob Lowe on with Kimmel, Colbert's got Brian Cox, Samantha Bee, Nev Campbell on with James Corden, and Seth Meyers has Jeremy Irons and Hilary Duff, who has that new series on Hulu, How I Met Your Father, with Kim Cattrall as the older version of her telling the story of her son. The AT&T girl, Milana Weintraub, the well-chested product spokesman for AT&T Wireless. She got pissed off about a year ago because people were calling her fat. So she said, okay, I'm going to continue to do the commercials, but you got to put me behind a counter or something like that. So for the last year, we haven't really seen her. And now all of a sudden she's back out from behind the counter and looks great and is so cute. And did I mention well-chested? Because she is.
The A-List Interview.
The Eagles' Glenn Frey on making the transition from music to acting.
Beer, this has got to be very difficult for you. What is your life like these days?
Well, now I have a family, and it's really grounded me, and it's really given me a place to go when I take the makeup off. I have a beautiful wife who's a professional dancer. I have a daughter, and I have a son. So I have this great place to go. You know, I used to want to move back to Colorado really bad and get out of L.A., and I sort of equated the Rocky Mountains with my personal happiness. But now that I have a family, I'm living in Santa Monica on a normal street, and because I'm with my family, I'm happy wherever I am. You know, this is the best life has been for me so far.
Hard to believe we lost that guy 7 years ago today, Glenn Frey, after years of battling, I think it was like colon cancer, and just thought his innards were all mixed up there for a long time, and it finally did him in. But he died on this date back in 2016. Frank Zappa showed up on Capitol Hill on this date back in 1985, the Parents Music Resource Center. This was Tipper Gore, Al Gore's obnoxious wife at the time, and a bunch of other congressional wives who were going to clean up this town. They didn't like the dirty lyrics in some songs, and so they were running around shopping malls with little stickers, and they're putting warning labels on stickers, and the music industry was like, fuck you. Who the hell are you to be criticizing us? You clean up your own house before you start coming after us. And so you had like Dee Snider from Twisted Sister show up, and he was in full regalia, and you know, the people were laughing because it's like, why should we listen to this guy? Look at him. He looks like a rock star is what he looks like. And a couple of other people, but then Frank Zappa shows up in like a $10,000 Armani suit and is very, very well spoken. He is as intelligent as anybody in the room that day, and he really shut the place down because now the congressmen and the senators on this subcommittee thought that they were just going to turn the music industry into a punching bag, and people started fighting back, including Frank Zappa, who did a marvelous job. I've mentioned this before. I'm not name dropping here. I'm just saying it because I'm really proud of it, and I got to know the guy a little bit for a couple of reasons. Not only this thing, and of course you'll remember, we went and broadcast live from Washington, D.C. during the hearings, so we were there in the midst of the whole thing and all the demonstrations in front of the White House and all that sort of stuff, and I had already gotten to know him a little bit because in 1985, I got to go down to Miami to do this Miami Vice thing. What they did is they contacted about, I don't know, I think it was like 20 radio stations across the country, all the big ones, and I was on KSHE at the time. And so they said, here's the deal. What we're going to do, we're going to invite you and a contest winner to come down to Miami, and you get to be an extra in a scene by a swimming pool in the evening, and we'll fly you down, we'll put you in a hotel, we'll pay for everything. So you run a contest, give us a lot of free publicity, and then we'll fly you guys down, and you'll be sort of in the background in some sort of scene in an upcoming episode of Miami Vice. Well, it turns out, unbeknownst to us, it's the Frank Zappa episode. He played a drug dealer, and so sure enough, we ran the contest, and they flew us down. Everything they said was going to happen did happen, and we had, still remember, we had to report it 8 o'clock in the morning. 8 o'clock in the morning, we had to be there in full wardrobe and makeup. And it was Miami, and it was hot. Okay, so we had to be there 8 a.m. The scene we were in was finally shot at about 10 o'clock that night. We had to sit around for 14 hours doing nothing. And I'm very disappointed in myself because, as you know, I archive everything and I can't find the audio of Dick Ford laughing when they came on after the episode that aired. And there I was on camera for 4 seconds behind Don Johnson. Don't get me wrong. It was a great experience and I'm glad I did it. But Jesus, it cures you of ever wanting to be on television or, you know, be a TV star or movie star because you really do sit around doing nothing for a long time. But like I said, Frank Zappa was the guest star of that episode. And so we got a chance to little talk about that too, because there was, they had a party in the city of Miami, because that stuff is all shot all over the city of Miami. And they were giving out proclamations and handing out awards. And there was a big thing. Everybody from the crew, everybody starring the show, and talking to Don Johnson, Philip Michael Thomas. Philip Michael Thomas, Sandra Santiago. Oh, handsome female. Very nice. 31 years old at the time. But Glenn Frey was hanging around that show back in the middle 1980s. The Eagles at that point had broken up, and so he was trying his hand at acting. He was in Jerry Maguire, and they had that show with Aries Spears. The series aired one time, and they canceled it. It was called SOS, South of Sunset. So, you know, Glenn Frey was trying to do a little spreading of his wings. After all, he was an Eagle. Get it?
All right, so outside of that, and maybe the last year or so you were with the Eagles, what other acting have you done?
You're a funny guy.
Let me tell you, I was very, very proud of that joke, and I just sprung it on him. It got exactly the reaction I thought I was going to get. But Glenn Frey was doing all sorts of stuff. He was a baseball fan hanging out at Dodger Stadium.
So the first thing to do with Glenn is to make sure he's relaxed. And if he is relaxed so that he can enjoy the luxury of silence, let the crowd roar. Don't be afraid not to be speaking. That'll be the first thing. If he gets over that, I think he'll be all right.
Well, here we go, Ben.
Well, you have Sachs and Duncan and Landreau. No score, bottom of the third inning. Let's see what happens.
Well, nothing much happened at all until Pedro Guerrero came up with two out and one on.
Guerrero's just been tearing the cover off the ball. How many home runs this month?
Well, he has 15 home runs, and he has 11 since they moved him from third base to center field.
The windup and the pitch. Oh, it's gone. Is it gone? It's back. It's back. Cruz at the warning track. He can't get it. It's gone. A two-run homer for Pedro Guerrero. And it's a 2-0 Dodger lead.
Calling a Pedro Guerrero homer when you're sitting next to Vin Scully has got to be exciting. Still, there's another aspect of baseball that thrills Glenn just as much.
To have one of your songs be cut to sports footage is really gratifying. I think it's fabulous to hear the heat is on when, it's 90 degrees out and the bases are loaded. That's great.
The heat is on.
And that's how former Eagle Glenn Frey's play-by-play baseball career started and ended all in the same day. So that whole Miami Vice thing, you know, Phil Collins was part of that too. Played a corrupt game show host on an episode of Miami Vice, all this back in the middle of 1980s. Rock stars thought that show was cool and everybody wanted to be part of it. Yeah, but we lost Glenn Frey on this date back in 2016. So like I said, I got a chance to hang out with Zappa a little bit. And then, of course, we ran into each other again in Washington. And then we did a couple of satellite interviews, too, and a couple of telephone interviews. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm talking to Frank Zappa. And I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again because I just thought it was one of the funniest things that ever happened. This was about the time that the Ayatollah Khomeini had made a proclamation that he was banning all music from being played in Iran. So if you lived in Iran, no music anywhere. I don't know. The Ayatollah thought that it was going to lead to dancing or something like that. I don't know. And so I was interviewing Frank Zappa, and I just said to him, and this wasn't planned. It was just something that came up. He said something, and I just thought to myself, I'm going to take a stab at this. Let me just throw it out. If nothing happens, I can always edit it out because it wasn't live. And I just said to him, Frank, if the Ayatollah played a musical instrument, what do you think it would be? Having no idea whatsoever what his answer was going to be, and without missing a beat, he just looks into the camera and says, some sort of flute. Oh, my God. Oh, love that guy. Love that guy. Get your prostate checked, man. Get your prostate. The guy, prostate cancer guy, I think he was only like 52 years old. A new study says going to bed with the TV on might be messing with your sleep because our brains are constantly scanning for unfamiliar sounds and voices. It could cause micro-arousals all night where you almost wake up. They think it's our brain's way of letting us know there might be a potential threat nearby. Have you heard of the new dating trend called hardballing? It's not what you think. It's when you play hardball and let the person know exactly what you're looking for. That way, everybody's expectations are in check and there's no confusion. A therapist in Chicago thinks the pandemic might have something to do with it, too. It's taught people that life is short, so why waste time? And 60 Minutes had a report this week identifying the person who likely was the person that led the Nazis to Anne Frank and her family. I didn't even have to wait around for the entire piece to play out. I guessed it. I guessed right. Yep. Mel Gibson. And with that, we say the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, January 18th, 2022 is in the can. 294 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We post every weekday morning at about 7 o'clock. Absolutely free. Everything is archived. Email me, jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning at 7. Spread the word, please. We are in the top 10% of all podcasts in these here, United States, and I'm going to keep it that way, all right? So let people know that we're here every morning. Friends, family members, co-workers, roll down the window and just yell to the person in the car next to you. Do that today because it's going to be too cold to do it tomorrow morning. It's going to be like 8 degrees 24 hours from now. And in the meantime, you've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.